You're listening to a podcast from the Today programme on BBC Radio 4.
The CBI surveys its members once a quarter and, based on those answers, makes some guesses on growth. It reckons the economy probably grew 0.7% in the first 3 months of this year. That's up from 0.6 in the last 3 months of last year. Cheaper petrol means more money collecting in all our pockets and it reduces cost of business. But there was a sharp drop in manufacturing orders and the Eurozone continues to be a big worry. Katia Hall joins us from the CBI on the line. Good morning, Katia.
Morning.
Let's start with a sharp drop in manufacturing. What's that to do with? Is that to do with the strength of the pound?
Yeah, the sharp drop in manufacturing is really caused by falling exports. So we saw quite a quick deterioration in manufacturing exports over the last quarter, and that's partly to do with the strong pound, and of course it's also to do with the situation in the Eurozone. The Eurozone is our biggest export market. Over 40% of our exports go there, so getting a bailout deal extension for Greece is really vital for the UK economy.
But is that the right, though? Because, I mean, apart, you know, obviously there's the persistent worry about Greece, but other than that, German economy, even the French economy, Italian, Spanish, all looking a little bit better. Is the Greece situation a bit of an excuse?
I think the situation in the Eurozone does have a big impact on the UK's export performance, but you're right in a way that it's not the whole picture. So the UK also needs to do much more when it comes to exporting to emerging markets. And there the picture is more encouraging. So our exports to China, for example, have grown by about 63% since 2010, but from a low base. And we're now one of the largest investors into India. So we need to do both. We need to grow our exports to fast growing emerging markets, and we also need to do everything that we can to boost our exports to the Eurozone, and part of that means resolving the situation with Greece.
And do you think this manufacturing picture, because generally the picture looks pretty solid, but this manufacturing thing, is it temporary or you know, what's the picture going further out?
Yeah, manufacturers are feeling more optimistic when they do look into the future. And we should remember, of course, still that the manufacturing sector is growing. It's just not growing as fast as the services or the retail sectors. So I think overall the picture for the economy is pretty encouraging. We've had a good start to 2015. And if anything, business is feeling more positive looking forward.
Now, Tony Blair will say, we're told today, that David Cameron's in-out referendum will throw British business into its most anxious and unstable period since the Second World War. Do you agree with that? According to this survey, that's not true.
Well, I think the question of a referendum is, we think, a matter for politicians. It's a constitutional issue. But what business is really clear about is that staying in a reformed European Union is absolutely vital to growth and investment here.
But what
in
I'm
the
saying
UK.
Is everyone seems quite confident, and it's also quite possible that we will get this in-out referendum. And either, you know, your members don't think that David Cameron's going to be the next Prime Minister, or Tony Blair's completely wrong about what he says.
Well, I think what business wants to see is whoever is in number 10 after the election. They want to see the next Prime Minister making the case for staying in a reformed European Union. They want to see politicians within the government get stuck in and building alliances with like-minded member states to make Europe more open, more competitive and more outward-looking.
Katia Hall from the CBI, many thanks. Now, back from holidays, where will markets head today? They were closed here, of course, for Easter Monday. They were open in the US and were up 0.5%, 117 points on the Dow Jones. Richard Dunbar is Investment Director, Aberdeen Asset Management. Good morning.
Good morning.
And in the US, we had a weak jobs number in America on the Friday. Does that put back a rate rise till later in the year? And that's why markets took some comfort yesterday.
I think to a great extent that is the case. These were weaker than expected numbers, and they follow a series of slightly weaker than expected numbers over the previous few weeks. Although I think most investors think that the US economy is in reasonable health and is recovering steadily, and there is evidence to suggest that is the case. But at the moment, investors are saying taking the view that it's glass half full, and if we get a slightly weaker number, the assumption is that the Federal Reserve will not put interest rates up as quickly as some had expected. Markets were expecting rate rises in June. That may be pushed back a little given this series of weaker than expected data.
We just had Katia Hall there saying the Eurozone is a big worry still for British business. We got some better news in the last 24 hours, and Greece saying it will pay the IMF later this week. There was a thought they were going to prioritise their own payments rather than to those outside agencies. That's quelled some default fears.
It has, and their finance minister, Yanis Varoufakis, said Greece intended to meet all obligations to all creditors ad infinitum, which was a fairly definite statement. To be fair, investors are assuming that the Greek situation is all right in the end. Markets have risen strongly, bond markets have risen strongly, and the assumption is that Greece will manage to muddle through this situation. So anything else will be a surprise to markets, but it's encouraging that we're actually seeing some evidence that this might be the case.
And Richard, just finally, we're going to be talking to KPMG in the next hour about their annual report on the health of big high street banks, and they're saying they're in pretty good shape, but paybacks for payment protection insurance still continue to affect the balance sheets, and they're much less profitable organisations than they once were. As a shareholder, is it a different proposition being a bank owner now?
Well, it is a different proposition, and in essence, we've, as a society, we've got what we wanted. We've got much safer banks. The capital buffer is three times the size which it was. Banks' loan books are much less risky and much smaller, and the sources of funding for the banking sector as a whole is much more conservative. So as a result, we've got a less profitable banking sector, but a safer one, and shareholders must make a judgment as to whether this safety and higher quality makes up for the lower returns that the sector now produces. And there are alternatives for investors elsewhere in the market, or indeed elsewhere in the global market.
All right, Richard Dunbar there, Investment Director at Aberdeen Asset Management. Many thanks. Now, solar power has been around for years, but only now is it ready to transform the world energy market. Two influential reports say that we are at a very exciting juncture. I spoke to economist Nick Butler, visiting professor and chair of the Policy Institute at King's College London, who explained why.
Power sources such as solar have depended for a long time on subsidy from governments, from customers. And that is really changing now. I mean, there are two big reports that have been published, one from Wood Mackenzie, the other from Deutsche Bank. And these are serious. This is not campaigning work. This is serious analytical work designed to attract investors. And they're both saying that solar power is now reaching the point where it's fully competitive without any subsidies. It's reaching grid parity in large parts of the United States, and will extend even further over the next 10 years. And I think that will spread internationally. Globalization will take it into all those countries where there's sufficient hours of sunshine for solar to be viable. And that really begins to change the electricity market worldwide.
And with what effect does that mean? Cheaper prices for oil as we use less of it? Does it mean, what are the implications?
The sources against which the solar will be competing in the power generation market are not really oil. They're gas and coal. So it's undercutting those, and yes, it will be cheaper prices. Oil is mainly concentrated now in the transport market, so not so directly affected. But what I think you'll see is both prices coming down in the developed country markets, but also now this new technology is able to reach into areas of the world which don't have proper energy supplies at the moment. So I think you could see a real transformation in parts of Africa and India, for instance, where people are off the grid, and this provides a really low-cost source of supply which will change their lives.
Is it the actual panels themselves which have changed? What's been the crucial factor?
The crucial factor is the fall in the cost of the panels and the efficiency with which they work. Whereas I think it's 5 years ago, solar was seven times more expensive than coal, which is the next competitor. It's now 2-to-1, and it's going to get to 1-to-1 within the next 5 years across a large part of the United States.
Well, with me in the studio is Tom Burke, who's the chairman of E3G, which is an independent environmental organisation, and also advises Rio Tinto, the miner. Tom, this sounds incredibly important and very exciting.
Yeah, it is very important, and it's also going to transform the whole of the way, not just we use electricity, but I suspect it will also transform our vehicle market as well. And this is happening much faster than anybody thought. The two reports Nick referred to are only two of a whole slew of reports that have come out over the last 3 years, all pointing in the same direction, which says the costs of renewables are coming down far faster than anybody anticipated, even 2 years ago.
Now, of course, there are proposals to cut subsidies for solar. You see farmers have got large fields full of these things. If you go down the motorway, you can see at the side. Based on the argument, we need them to be full of food, not solar panels. Are we doing the right thing in this country?
We've had a very inconsistent approach approach to the renewables and deploying renewables in Britain. We're really starting to miss out and get left behind because of that inconsistency by government. I mean, it's completely incoherent to complain about subsidies as the government did on renewables when you're preparing to sell 35 years' worth of index-linked tax receipts in order to get nuclear power from EDF. So I don't think the issue of solar panels on fields is really the dominant issue. The real issue is how quickly can we get our stake up in what is actually a transformation that's happening with incredible speed.
And one of the missing links in all of this is the battery, the storing electricity. What are the developments there? Are we close to figuring that out?
Again, it's the same story, that costs are coming down even faster than anybody thought. 2013, the IEA said we'd be at $300 a kilowatt hour by 2020. We actually got there last year. The US Department of the Energy says we're going to halve that in the next 3 or 4 years.
And what happens in the future? We will buy a pack from, you know, a major like an IKEA or something like that and have our own panel, our own battery, and we'll be able to go off grid. What's the future?
Yeah, two things. One, that will happen, that IKEA, the big box companies, will get into selling you a solar panel complete with a battery, which will give consumers a lot more power and influence over their energy bills, but also it means that electric vehicles will probably penetrate the market far faster than anybody is currently thinking.
Tom Burke, advisor, chairman of E3G. Interesting stuff, many thanks. You can listen to more free content from the Today programme by going to www.bbc.co.uk/today.